This recording, Ireland 14, is copyright the International Dialect to English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with the cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Oh, well, I think the Irish people had suffered so much from invasion and being taken over all down through the centuries that they fought so hard for to have independence and to own the land and their houses. I think it is, more so than any other nationality in the world, the Irish would be the most property owners. But is it a basic insecurity that has been built in them or what? I do not know. Well, I mean, I can live here now because I have a car and I can commute, right, and I can go into town and I can, you know what I mean? And I have, as my own children would say, I have the best of both worlds, right? I have the lovely countryside, you know what I mean? Second to none, you know what I mean? Like really, and all my kids were the same here, but they participated in all the sports in the village, wherever they were. I had a field out there, could be converted into a sports field in a matter of 2 hours with a machine. Do you understand? You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, before I went to America, I was once in Sligo. I went in to have my tonsils out in 1950, 29th of June. I was confirmed in the morning, I had my tonsils out in the afternoon. That's the truth. Do you know what I mean? Like, really. And that was the day, and there was no such thing as calling up, saying, "Well, take another day." No, you just went, and I went off, went directly from the church, and never went home or nothing. I did my white dress and everything. That's it. You know, so that's just, you know what I mean, really, you know. But then materialistic things have come in here terribly. I mean, we have beautiful houses, right, dear. From one of this road to the other, there's some beautiful houses. I am the only woman home during the day. Right? I have more children here. No one belonging to myself. Do you understand what I mean? Like, really, you know, you go into their houses, you wouldn't get a cup of tea. I mean, you know, it's an old priest, young priest I know, but his dad was very old, and he lived over here, over the country. And a young couple moved in next door. Now, Paddy Joyce is his name, and everybody came into Paddy, because there was another old man came in every day, and the kettle was on the range, and Tom and Paddy had their tea every day, right? So this young woman moved in next door, and she never stopped asking these two old guys to come in to visit. So one day, Paddy took the bull by the horns, and he said, "Well, I'm going in." So he went in, and you know, and he had the great visit, and he arrives over to Tom to tell Tom about the house, you see. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on. Now, it's Tom's son that's telling me this, the priest, Martin Joyce's name, Martin Jennings. And Martin is telling me, anyhow, and he knew the father was getting, you know, with a minute. And finally he said to Father Jinny's father, Paddy, said, Pat, are you going to make an energy? Oh, sure, he said, in that kitchen, he said, you got a cup of tea. Oh, no, he said, you couldn't ask that woman to go making tea. No, but the kitchen was so beautiful.
Oh,
you wouldn't have turned on a cooker.